Hey, glad you can make it. Welcome to Fantasy Dad Pods, where dad bods are glorified and dad jokes are encouraged. I'm JT, accompanied by Sean. Sean, how we doing?
Not too bad. It's been a while, but here we are. We're back. Let's do it.
Woo! Welcome to the fall.
There, it is. It is. It was actually kind of fall. Here we go. I mowed my lawn this morning in a sweater.
There you go.
I've been on call for like a week straight, and you got to mow the lawn whenever you can when you're on call at the hospital. And I mowed it half of it 2 days ago in the morning. No sweater. This morning, same time, sweater. There we go. It's that last, we got to get that last little fertilizer down, JT, before the fall sets in. Getting pretty close.
Step ahead. I fertilized this last weekend.
Oh, man, didn't have time. I got it next weekend. Next week, I think. That's when I'll have time.
I think I got one of the best compliments today. My dad said, "Wow, your grass is greener than mine." And I about cried.
As someone who knows your dad and has been to his house, that is a compliment. Your dad has a nice lawn.
Yeah, I think he was a groundskeeper for Major League Baseball in a former life. That's
Seriously.
how meticulous he is about it. But yeah, man. Yeah, the last time we potted, it was early September.
It was
And
right before the draft, football drafts. It's 2
right?
weeks.
So much has happened, both baseball and football. We're gonna start with some baseball. Head-to-head fantasy baseball playoffs full swing, semifinal round this week. We're facing off against each other in our,
In our ESPN league, yeah.
in the salary cap, formerly auction league.
Yeah. I'll concede to you, but I think because as the year went on, I was like, I got like Judge is my shot. Like that's how we're gonna do this. Like, I mean, my team's okay. Julio got hurt today, so that was a big. I had Julio and Judge was in my offense, and Julio left with a back injury today. Transition to injury report, I guess. So yeah, that was a big blow for my team. But I'm rolling out just like throwing starters at you, as you can see. All my pitchers got healthy. Oh,
Oh,
and
yeah.
a couple weeks ago I said Jose Quintana, nice, should be picked up by leagues, and he's been pretty good. It hasn't been going very far in games, but I mean he's getting these low ERA. I mean, not gonna be quality starts, getting some strikeouts, but a low ERA. And for what my 11th starter could be a lot worse. Be a lot worse.
Right.
So yeah, Jose Quintana. Solid ERA lowerer. That's good podcasting material. We plan that out.
Yeah, I kind of spaced the waivers this morning, or I guess last night, because I had a medical procedure. But I looked at the transactions this morning in our in the ESPN, and I was just like, oh, cool. All the people that got picked up were on my team like 2 weeks ago, where I was like, no, you're not doing it for me. I'm gonna cut you. So I was like, sweet. I really hope that doesn't come back to bite me. Use my former players against me. But
I probably was one of those guys.
oh,
It was
all
probably
three. There was three transactions. All three I had like a week and a half ago on my team.
was
I was like,
was it me that did? Who did you have?
Tyone Flair. Jack Flaherty and Stephen Kwan.
I have.
You picked up two, and then
Did I pick up Kwan? I thought I tried to pick up Kwan. I don't think I got Kwan.
you got the two pitchers, I think.
Yeah. I got Flaherty and Tyone. Yeah. I tried to pick up Kwan actually, and I did not get him. So,
Hey, those of you listening, if you can pick up Kwan, he's kind of riding a heater. I mean, it's pretty much
yeah,
come within the last few games,
we're
but
in the
when you
playoffs. I gotta try to like I'm rolling. As I'm doing this, my entire bench, five spots are all hurt. So I needed a bat, and I didn't get it. So it's
yeah,
gonna get interesting.
in his last six games played, let's do some math here. 5-5-5. That's 15 hits in the last six games.
Yeah.
home run. That's 9 runs, and that is 5 RBI with 2 stolen bases. Thanks, Minnesota, for just getting him kickstarted, because otherwise, it wasn't really anything to write home about. But man, he must have realized that September 19th marks semifinals of head to head, and he's like, oh, gotta boost my numbers.
Yeah.
Either that, or isn't he an OSU guy?
Oregon, I believe, State? He is, yeah. I think
and he's Oregon State just started school this week, so maybe he
must have known.
Maybe less of a distraction. Maybe he's got some sweet young honey, like, oh, sorry, babe, gotta go to class. Okay, I guess I'll just go ball out in my day job.
Just do my day job thing.
Out of class.
Yeah.
Or he's just set his internal time clock is still set to quarter schedule in collegiate necessities.
Are they quarters or semesters?
Quarters. If you're starting this late, you're quarters.
Oh, that's true. WCU's got to be like the only medical school that I feel like is semesters at this point.
God, I feel like, yeah, maybe one of the Arizonas, if I remember right, back. But that maybe, it could have changed since then.
Yeah, I just remember a lot of, we were like the only ones that go to school.
Right. But it's nice to get it out early May, first or second week of May. That's kind of cool.
True. It's Pullman, man. Pullman in the fall is gorgeous. Come on.
Oh, yeah. That and what? You usually only buy like 12 sets of books instead of like 15.
Yeah, come on. But it's smart in the long run. So I guess we can go to a pickup. Guy I thought about, and I don't really, I go back and forth. I still think I have him rostered in our big league, JT. Tony Kemp, second, it's only because he's got second base eligibility, but he's been a little hot, and it's been like 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
So second base, is always kind of thin. So Tony Kemp is really, really riding a run here, touching up some Mariners pitchers the last couple of days too. Like, I mean, honestly, White Sox, Houston, and Mariners. Like, these are major league pitching teams, and he's touching them up. So I don't know. I'm just playing the Mets, though. I mean, you got to watch out for that DeGrom guy. He shuts everybody down. But Tony Kemp, if you need a second base, like, ride the hot streak, man. It's like JT said, it's time. This time of the year, the last couple, depending on how your league is, last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, or whatever it is, you got to just cut guys that you've been riding all year. I mean, Trevor Story just went on the IL, so cut him, get Tony Kemp. You need a second baseman. Boom.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that was definitely a name I was considering. I just picked up, Brendan Donovan? Because I was like, oh, he plays every single position. Maybe it'd be nice just to have that complete flexibility, and then I left him on the bench. He hit a grand slam today, but his first career grand slam. So it's like, what are you gonna do?
That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Yeah.
But another second baseman that hit not one, but not two, but not actually 3 dingers today.
Who?
Colton Wong, y'all.
What?
Yeah. He was the entire offensive production, 5 RBIs. Milwaukee won 5-1 against Cincinnati today. 3-4.
Are you going to the Colton Wong well now?
When healthy, so hasn't happened too much, but when healthy, he's been a solid contributor. Couple home runs, couple steals. He's on the year, he's got 12 home runs, 15 stolen bases. I mean, it's just like when healthy, and I mean, batting fifth, like that's a pretty okay spot in the lineup. Milwaukee's nothing crazy of a monster in terms of run producing, but for second baseman, I mean, I think that's solid, and especially like if we're going by matchups, they're facing off against Cincinnati this weekend series, and then they turn and come home and then face St. Louis. So both pitching staff, especially Cincinnati, I mean, gotta just look out for what Nick Lodolo, that's it. And then St. Louis can kind of play the matchup, but
yeah,
it's really gonna come down to series matchups. I'd really focus on that. If we'll probably hit on it as we go along, but just to highlight right now, you know, whether you're in Coors or not, or, you know, that really, let's start playing.
If you have a Rockies player and he's out of Coors or something like that too. Yeah. Like,
I'd start thinking about that kind of DFS kind of angle, if you will. Not that I play, because I'm a resident of Washington State and online gambling is illegal. Gosh.
Just lighting money on fire, state of Washington. I got a question for you. Speaking of the Cardinals, Harrison Bader's healthy. He's got 6 RBIs in 3 games since he's been back.
Isn't Bader with the Yankees?
He is.
Oh, okay. I think you said, speaking of Cardinals.
Well, he was a Cardinal, you know, and now he's a Yankee.
I think you tried to trick me and I passed.
Yeah, there you go.
Well played.
What do you think? Like, he's going to play. Like, they don't have any other outfielders, so, like...
He's going to play. He's come back solid. Batting seventh, which is, like, not ideal, but, like, that's what you were already getting out of him previously. And
but I think, like, if he, like, shows he's healthy, I think they're going to climb him up. They just need anything at this point.
Right.
Someone in front of Judge that's on base. like, that's just what they want. Like, a body.
Yeah, no, I could see it. I mean, what was he coming back from, 60 day?
Plantar fasciitis, I believe.
Oh, the foot. Because usually he's good for some steals too, but I mean, at least he's seen the ball well against in his first 3 games back. So, I mean, they're facing off against Boston the rest of this weekend. They got Toronto early next week.
Then Toronto, though. Good hit, good Harris Park. Most of, you know, the AL East is friendly-ish parks, so I don't know. Like,
I could see. I mean, this time of year, you need a fifth outfielder. I mean, like, I could see the need for it. Or even if we're talking like Roto, and you're like, oh man, if I get a couple more steals, I could bump up a spot or two. Like, that would definitely make sense with Harrison Bader, because he's probably either available or you had a deep enough IL where you like stashed him, so either way, yeah, like, he should be easily like able to plug and play.
Yeah. Let's see, anybody else you're looking at here pick up some gosh, Kirby was dealing until today, so let's avoid that one. Gosh, it is just Kyle Bradish, that's like the, but no, can't pull the trigger. Looking at his numbers, can't do it. I was talking before Jose Quintana, but we already talked about it. He's just the guy who's just gonna get you some nice innings and strikeouts. But that's what you need. That's what you need. But,
if you need saves, Puck is an eighth inning guy, and Domingo Acevedo has got 4 saves in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
So that's a thing. Saw him last night against the Mariners, right?
Yeah.
Suspension again, or is it Tuesday? I got my days off now.
It's Tuesday, yeah. Because Wednesday?
Actually, he has saves the last 2 days.
It doesn't matter.
Wednesday and Tuesday. But watching him pitch, it was just, I mean, I get it. He was facing Julio, France, and Haniger. And every single first pitch was, you know, something in the dirt. And then he got unlucky on a Julio jam. Julio got on base with speed. And then he had France roll over into a really easy double play. So, I mean, I don't think it's like anything like, what did I say? He's 9% rostered is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not like everyone's like, oh man, let me get some of this Acevedo, but hey, it's Oakland. You never know. We mentioned they played the Mets and then they played the Angels after that. So, I mean, like, four saves in the last 2 weeks. That's all I'm saying. If you have a need or have a spot, you know, there's not many guys like that are available out there.
Another guy too, maybe. It's kind of fringe, but I'm liking what he's doing now. Hunter Green, quality starts 3 out of the last 4, and he's playing Milwaukee, Pittsburgh coming up. So that a lot of the AL or the NL Central plays each other, and they don't hit particularly good. So you need a starter guy who has some upside that, you know, can blow up for you and lead you to a victory. Maybe Hunter Green might be a guy to look at here too.
Yeah. Shout out, just I'm not recommending it, but Hayden Wisniewski had an immaculate inning, so congrats, young buck.
I see people jumping all over him, and I'm like, whoa, that's all that.
was 9 pitches, guys.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if that 0.7 whip's gonna sustain itself, but I mean, it's a good story.
Yeah.
Might have missed the boat on that one. Yeah, I think that's seen anybody else. Like, Johnny Cueto's kind of getting blown up now a little bit. I'm looking at his numbers. Like, why is he getting picked up so much? But then I see kind of why.
The only other one I saw recently on, I think it was like a Pitcher List article, Rosny Contreras looks like a pretty juicy two start week next week. In terms of just like really low percent rostered, that would be available out there. He definitely faces Cincinnati in the first start, and then I can't remember if it was another kind of weaker lineup in the second. But no the other
Central plays each other a bunch, so probably. Yeah,
but just no other names really stood out where I'm like, oh, all those guys are rostered. But the Rosny Contreras was really the only one that was like, okay, he's definitely under like 50%. So that could be a one if you need a squeeze, you know.
Yeah.
But that was all that kind of was standing out in my head.
I'm a Joey Meneses kind of guy. I don't know about you, JT, but he's been hot and it's been fun to watch. So I've kind of rostered him in some leagues. So Joey Meneses, give him a shot. He's winning the Nationals are winning the Juan Soto trade because of it so far. So it's kind of funny. That's why I've been keeping tabs on it. So
right.
I don't want to say I'm a believer, but I mean, he's been pretty good since day one, since he got the starting job. So,
For sure.
30-year-old rookie. I mean, understand what it's going to be, but ride him while he's hot. And it's, again, it's not been like a 2-week thing. He's been hot since basically the trade deadline. So, and it's, I mean, last 3 days, what, 7 hits in 3 games and a home run and a stolen base? Like, that's just recently, too. He's been hot the entire time. So, I'm just saying, like, that was against Atlanta, too. He was struggling against Miami, which is weird, but, not weird. I guess it is Miami. They do one thing. But Joey Meneses, deep sleeper there. I guess what is he rostered? 51% of leagues. Yeah, there you go.
Nice. Other than that, I mean, we need to get some dad strength. We've got a lot to feature.
We have
2 weeks worth. Then we'll get to some football. So you saw it first. So start us off with the long dong.
Well, I'm just searching here and I see one. Well, I got to see one. I got to see the guy I think we're talking about. I got to pull it up here. Oh, yes. CJ Krohn, 504, literally out of the stadium in Colorado. 504, JT.
37 Colorado, asterisk.
I mean, okay, out of Colorado, 490. I don't think we need to see Would It Dong Twitter account for that one. I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen the Twitter account or whatever, it's a night game and he hits it and just goes into the night. And then you see people reacting as it's like, just like going out. it's pretty impressive. It clears, like, they're like, hit it to this car. And like, I assume you win something if it hits the car, but what if you clear the car? Like, you still got to give away the car, right? The car's like 480 feet.
Right.
He cleared it. Like,
yeah.
You still got to give somebody the car, right?
Get Come it on.
Come on.
The car's just collecting dust. Just give it away.
Seriously. Sorry, CJ Krohn was too strong. He hit the didn't skip too many leg days for you.
Yeah. And I mean, if you ever watch Schitt's Creek, just write it off. That's what you do.
Yeah, just
give away
off.
The car and write it off, and the government pays for it.
Who's writing this off?
The business.
The business. Who pays for it?
Right. The other long dong on my mind is Christian Yelich, 499.
Yeah. I need to open up some stats on this one.
Yeah, even lift, bro, 499.
Gosh. I couldn't imagine hitting a ball that far. Like, there's no way. Christian Yelich, man. Only 12th home run of the season. That makes me sad now. Now I'm sad JT would have gone.
Yeah.
But still, 499.
Yeah.
That
don't
is
look,
just.
Don't look up like JD Martinez's home run total either.
No, I'm not.
Also 12.
I wasn't going to roster him, but. let's see who you got here. Looking for some other dad strength. I see 446 from Freddie Freeman down here. I see Pete Alonso. He's got five of these taters. Let's see. 443. All right. Ryan McMahon. 461. All right. Oh, Joey Gallo. It's so nice to see Joey Gallo hit dingers again. You know?
Absolutely.
Joey Gallo has more dingers now. I just realized he has 18.
What was the stat I just saw about Joey Gallo? High school, he pitched a no-hitter and then took like Greg Maddux's daughter to prom or something. The same
legend.
Night.
Legend.
Some big baseball player's daughter. I want to say it was Maddux. But I was just like, dang. What a day. Like, that's tough to top.
The hero got to salute him for that one. Jordan Alvarez, 464 as well.
Man, it must have been really nice weather in Coors. There's so many Coors players.
Warms up little cool night maybe, and then gets a little warm night air in Coors and just flying out. Albert Pujols hitting dinger still, JT. Is he going to do it? Is he going to get 700?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to. You got to roll him out there, St. Louis. You just got to. You've got the playoff spot. Just roll him out there.
What did I see? Oh, a debate on which ball would be worth more, the 62nd home run ball for Judge or the 700th for Pujols. I didn't quite get 60 it,
second.
But the lean was because it's an AL record, right? Not necessarily just like overall, but
how many people have hit 62 home runs? That, well, I mean, there's always going to be a doubt from now on, but like clean, non-steroid, that's like the record for the clean steroid home run mark.
Yeah.
In an era in which, like, you know, just, I mean, like, how many people have 700 home runs? Three? Is it three?
Bonds, McGuire, Sosa.
Sosa doesn't have 700.
Sorry. I thought we were talking about
this. Oh, no.
You said 700?
Hank, Bonds, and Ruth, right? That's the 700 club? Because Alex was like four shy, six
696 or something. Yeah. Sorry, just I thought three. We were talking single season. Yeah.
So, what? Fourth member or arguably the guy to... legitimately, I guess some could say the record is still 73, but legitimately break Maris's record. I don't know, man. It's going to be real tough. It's going to be close.
This will be the AL record, right?
It'll be the AL record, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never had really considered that. I never...
Yeah, all the National League guys.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, crap. They were all National League, weren't they? Like, I had never thought about it in that context.
Sammy Sosa has hit 60 plus home runs three times and has never led the league in home runs. That is, I'll wrap your head around that. Like, that happened. Like, Sammy Sosa. Oh, gosh. Talk about unlucky.
Yeah, that would make me want to turn into a vampire, too.
Yeah. All right, so exit velo. Taylor Trammell, 112.
There's just the one. That's all it takes.
The one.
Just one exit velo. And it's like hitting the shoulder. Well, this is on average, so I'm sure we might find someone above 112.
It's still.
But.
Well, Yordan Alvarez has 19 of them. If you scroll down, JT.
Oh, yeah, he's got
2 4-14s.
Oh, that's right. He's been murdering
everything.
Things that have 108 stitches on them. Not
19 hard hit baseballs over a stretch. And of course, O'Neill Cruz is on this list.
Oh, that's right. Giancarlo Stanton's grand slam the same night Judge hit the, was it 60?
60. Yeah, that, 60. Yeah.
That was 118 exit velo.
Because O'Neill Cruz has one here, 117.7.
What was O'Neill Cruz's launch angle on it?
Oh, it was a single. So it, okay. I closed it. Hold on.
Because the Stanton one went 410 at 16 degrees.
Yeah, I saw someone do the -2 launch angle.
Nice.
So if it could go through a ground, it would have gone through the ground.
Now, I don't listen to the Pirates broadcast, but they obviously call them cruise missiles, right? I mean,
it seems pretty
obvious.
They need to lose their jobs if they don't call them cruise missiles. Like, it's right there for you. Which, sidetrack here, we may have talked about on the podcast, but do you remember the running back? I've told you this, but this is for the podcast people. There's a running back for the Titans, Chris Brown, and he was a running back, and at no point did any ESPN announcer say he's going to run it. And that is a crime. That is a crime. I literally was like, there, like, it's written for you. The song literally came out at the same time. Like, he's a running back with the same name. And he's a running back. And the song is called Run It. And
it's not. It's not too late, though. Bring him out of retirement and let's see if he can run it.
How old is that Chris Brown? Sorry. You could talk about something else while I Google the other Chris Brown.
Ketel Marte's finally showing some signs of life. He's got 10 hits.
He's 41, JT. I think I'm a little late.
Okay.
I got a little late. He went to Colorado. Okay. But yeah.
Yeah. Ketel Marte was one of those names where he just really got a little bit too dinged up and it was starting to show and they slid him down in the lineup and it just was not looking good on the season. But has he kind of bounced back? I want to check it out. Well, they got him batting about second in the lineup again. He's still kind of streaky. He's not. I just don't think he's really. This was his year. I feel like he's battling through.
Yeah, I just.
But I mean, that's just a tough one to follow. Let's see, over the last 14 days for him. Solid though. I mean, 7 runs, 2 home runs, 7 RBI, 348 OBP, 513 slugging. I mean. He's going to be rostered. I doubt he's out there, but it's just like whether you trust him, especially in a head-to-head week or not, or like just even a weekly. But, I mean, it'd probably just be on the matchup. So you would have had to decide if you wanted to start him 4 games at the Dodgers and then home 3 games against San Francisco. That'd be a tough one to want to count on, but... They did have a doubleheader. Oh, 5 games, excuse me. The doubleheader on that Tuesday. So, anyway.
Oh, okay.
I just was like, oh, Ketel Marte is showing signs of life.
Yeah, it's just a health thing with him, honestly. Like, that's always what it's going to be.
Right.
Just, can you trust it?
Oh, can Darren Ruff. Where's his pitching stat line? Didn't he?
Next, like Ohtani.
No run innings?
Yeah, next Ohtani right here.
Woo. That's what they traded for him, right?
There you go. The rough. Yeah. Eloy Jimenez. Yeah. He's been doing some things too. Gosh, 19 though. You have 19 hard hit pitches and your average is still 107. That's just stupid.
Okay, I clicked on Judge because he has the most around here. I just want to see how many were over 110. 111. 112, 111, 111, 110, 111, 111,
111, 7, 111.
And then one at 109.
He has two at 109.
Two at 109? Good. Yeah, Bob. Gosh. Wow.
All right, really quick. Who's your MVP?
Oh. I think... Gosh, that's a tough one. Because obviously Judge should have had it the whole trash can year with the Astros and Altuve. That was his rookie year, right? I really would be okay with a co-MVP, as like gross as it is to say, but I think you have... God dang it. I think you have to go to Judge.
I got a good idea. Yeah, I got it. Or I stole it. And someone made a good point I was listening to. If it's like a normal year, like last year, like Vladimir Guerrero had a really good year, you know, but it's not a crazy, insane all-time year.
Right.
Every year that those are the parameters, it's Ohtani, barring, you know, injuries or anything like that, because just what he does. Ohtani is the default MVP because you just can't replace him. But when someone is doing what Judge is doing, this is not a normal, you know, all-star year. You look at him versus, like, because it's Judge and Ohtani, you look at him versus a third-place person in the voting because you eliminate Ohtani. It's not even close. They're not even the same world. So in the year that Judge is having, I think it kind of has to be Judge this year.
Yes, but agree.
But like 95% of the seasons, it's going to be Ohtani if he's healthy, just because, like, I think someone said, like, Jose Ramirez is the next guy in WAR after those two, and like you're there's no justification for having Jose Ramirez above an Ohtani if Judge just didn't exist this year. Like, it would have to be Judge, so it would have to be Ohtani. So I'm just like, that's kind of where I land. I'm like, look, it's such a crazy year for Judge that it's got to be Judge. I mean, he's at 10 WAR. The next guy is Yordan Alvarez at 6. Like
the top 10, like, most important statistics that you could judge a hitter, he's first in the AL. Like,
yeah,
he's looking at winning the Triple Crown and having the most home runs in the league.
Has the biggest gap since a guy named Babe Ruth.
But, and I was going to say, if he gets the Triple Crown, only one other player has ever got the Triple Crown while leading the league in home runs. I mean, like, it's so rare.
And he's not leading. He would be leading by like 30 in the American League.
He's lapping the field. Yeah.
He has a 23 home run gap right now on Yordan Alvarez in the American League. I think Schwarber has 38, I believe, is the next highest.
Schwarber just hit 40. I was thinking.
Okay, so he just hit 40. Okay, I heard he had 38. Yeah. Okay, so he's got a 20 home run gap now.
Just in Major League Baseball. Like, we're talking about league context, but in
regard to the American League, he has a 23 gap.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think the historicness is just, that's what makes it me lean. And I'm like, I understand Ohtani. Like, I think early September I would have said co, but then that's when I started out. I was like, God, you know what? The way Judge is doing this and this whole triple, like, crown thing, it's just like, I think it really...
He has 16 stolen bases too.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
sprinkle those
in.
Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, half a billion or whatever they spent on.
Right.
He has more home runs than both combined.
Yeah. Like, and he's the first person to have over 100 barrels in a season.
Yeah, like, it's just, his WRC plus is the same as both of theirs combined. Like, like I said, most of the time it's Ohtani, but how can it not be Judge right now? Just how can it not be Judge?
All right, time to switch gears here. Going to talk some fantasy football. We got 2 weeks to recap, first and foremost. What's your biggest initial thought on this new season upon us?
So recording after week two. It was a little crazy week one, even crazier than normal. And then week two was even more crazy than week one. I read a stat that there were three teams who came back more than 20 points in week two. And that had literally did not happen all last year. Not one time. So, regular season, at least. So, it's just with that much variance in what's going on, it's so hard to narrow down what's real and what's not, I feel like, at this point, even compared to other seasons. With injuries and things like that, it was just like weather played a part. Like, you're like, oh, let's try to figure out the 49ers. Oh, it's crazy weather. Can't do their thing. Okay, let's try to figure out week two. Quarterback breaks his leg. You're like, okay, like we figured out nothing about the 49ers, basically. And we're going over here. We're like, oh, gosh. Like, it's happening all the time with various teams. So I'm just like, I feel like I'm constantly, like, looking at the waiver wire and be like, I still have no idea what this is. I still have no idea what this is. Like, what they are, what the target share is going to be, like, what's happening. Like, so it's just, it's incredibly weird this year.
My initial thought was those workhorse running backs stand on more of a cliff than anything, because it feels like it's so much on an island on regards to touches. And I mean, if they had over 20 rushes, it was just, it's so unique in today's type of football, and there's so many targets to be had across all these different wide receiver cores, or, you know, even including tight ends, that it's just like, if your running back has some type of committee timeshare consideration, it's like, it's so much more touchdown dependent than ever that I can recall out of these first 2 weeks. And then just there's so many yards to be had for receivers and tight ends. It's just like, I'm like, is every quarterback throwing it over 50 times a game? It just, that's what it almost seems like. It's just so pass happy. It's crazy.
Because I mean, I knew slowly. Well, that was the thing. Like, the nerd revolution was coming. You know, passing was going to be king, and that's obviously been happening for a couple of years now with what we've been seeing the draft. But it just feels like it exploded. Like you said, like you see in some games, although then their Thursday night game just happened and that was just, oh my gosh. But you see, like, it's just an explosion. Like, the only games of mine, obviously, is the Miami-Baltimore game. Like, that was just, like, people are just going nuts in that game. So it's just, it's just, yeah, it's just, it just seems like running backs, too. Like, even running backs, like, I don't even know where to go with it. Like, Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, like, they're just, they're doing their thing, but they're not getting the, well, at least McCaffrey didn't get the touchdown, so it's kind of like, where do you peg their value? Almost like, I'm trying to, like, wrap my head around, I get that we have the you know, the top couple guys of, like, these are the four running backs, but I almost feel like next year, if this continues, again, we're 2 weeks into it, it has to kind of be receiver heavy in the top. Despite, like, what Christian McCaffrey could do, we're seeing them have good games. Like, Saquon Barkley's efficiency has been crazy, but he's still not getting the points that receivers are getting at this point. And I'm just like, at what point do you just take the wide receivers? Like, that conversation is going to be needed had if this continues, I feel like. It's just the wide receivers are just so much. It's yeah, it's massive. I'm trying to wrap my head around it still.
Right. And I did say the committee part. I mean, the two names that stand out to me that's like, wow, can we keep this up, is Kareem Hunt being RB2 on his own team, but still, wow, what a first 2 weeks. And then the same for AJ Dillon. I mean, like, that's more of an even split there in Green Bay, but both have been producing well. Jonathan Taylor's still like a dude. Oh, James Robinson, really surprised on how much of a workload he's taken on so early. And had quite a few fantasy points to show for it. And then I think at least I'm just focusing on running backs right now. DeAndre Swift, like yeah. How many teams got him, like even maybe as an RB3, if not RB2, but just like, holy cow, that's a season changer for just how that whole team's been surprisingly good. And I mean, Goff has 6 touchdowns and compared to 2 interceptions. And is he leading the league in yards or one of the top three?
Like my issue with that is like, so when we look at things like, I try to look at when it comes down to like explosive plays, especially in the running game, are very random. They're mm-hmm. not repeatable. They're not. And DeAndre Swift has had like 2 60-plus yard runs already. So like odds are he probably won't have very many the rest of the year. He could, but he, right. the Detroit O-line is good. Like that is the thing that we've seen so far. So, but they're still largely dependent on luck. A lot of it is. So I'm just like, that Detroit Lions, now you've got me down the rabbit hole thinking about St. Brown too. That Detroit Lions offense, just in general, like
mm-hmm.
they are a microcosm of this whole thing that I've been saying for 2 weeks. I don't know what to make of football right now. Like,
right.
Is St. Brown the That's best receiver really in football? Point. I don't even know. I don't even like, we should have seen the evidence last year. You know, he had like last 7 or 8 games, 100 yards, 8 catches, touchdown or something like that. So some, I can't remember the exact parameters, but then he's continued it 2 weeks in the season already. But it's Jared Goff, and it's a run first coach, but they're throwing for a bunch of yards. I didn't see it coming, and I don't know if it's continuing. And that's why I'm like, people are going to run to pick him up or trade for him or get Goff and get Swift. And I'm like, I don't know if I see that continuing. I would love it if Dan Campbell did that, and it would help this team, but I just don't.
Right.
Ah, man, I just, these 2 weeks of the season are just like, I feel like these 2 weeks, it's just like you just throw mud at a wall and you're like, whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen these 2 weeks of the season. It's just, that's how it feels like to me. Like however it's worked, it's worked. Like, I just feel like that's how it's been this year so far. So I just, man.
Any utter disappointments stand out on like your fantasy teams? Because I've got one. Like, so frustrating. I'll go first then, because I just didn't get off my chest.
No, go for it.
Kyle Pitts.
Oh yeah, I should.
I. My gut told me don't buy the hype. My head was like, well, it's kind of. I think where I drafted him was like, feel like pretty good value here.
I think you did, but I did have the 3 guys above him for a reason. But
Yeah. But 10 targets and then 2 catches in each game, 19 yards in each game.
I think that's one that has to change, because you're an NFL coach. Your best assets is Pitts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got him and Drake London, and Drake London only got like garbage time yards in this game against the Rams. Like, when you're trying to just, don't be down by a bunch running it with Cordell Patterson and just throw it to the 2 monsters you've invested a ton of picks in. 2 top 10 picks in the back-to-back years. Your first 2 picks or your higher picks have been receiver / tight end
mm-hmm.
guy. Throw it to them. And I'm hoping they will figure that out sooner rather than later. But I get the frustration from the Kyle Pitts department. I would say my frustration is Josh Jacobs. He's been a very good running back, but I almost, while watching this, what was the shell of the Seahawks game yesterday, I also had the Cardinals, because I have Kyler Murray and Josh Jacobs were going against each other, and the Raiders were in the red zone like half the game, it felt like. And I'm like, just turn and hand it off. Just hand, okay, you're not, okay. Like, I'm just like, right. You're there. They've been there the 2 weeks. I'm just turn around, hand it off. Oh my gosh, this would make my life so much easier if you just handed it off one time. Like, just turn around. It's on the 2. I love how like these teams are like, they're so analytic driven. And then analytics is like, okay, you're inside the 10, run it. And they're like, no, we got to pass it again. I'm like, no, the analytics just says run it again. Like, it says now it's time to run it. And you're like, no, I'm going to force feed Devontae Adams. And I'm like, right. Oh my gosh, he got you down here. Just give it to Josh Jacobs, please. But he's been my frustrating guy, not from any part of him, but because they just refuse to call passing plays or running plays. Kind of right. The opposite of it was like they refuse to call his number. Like, yeah, like Pitts is a guy you got to feed. And so I just don't get it. I just don't get it sometimes. I think sometimes offenses try to get too cute. Like they're in the situation of like, look, I want to get Pitts involved, but they know I want to get Pitts involved. So I'm not going to get Pitts involved. And I'm going to just make it simple. Just get Pitts involved. And if they do it, then you adjust. But like, don't take away your own best option before they take it away.
Right.
And that
they're going to double cover him. So
in that game a lot. Yeah. I'm just like, that was happening in that game a lot. I'm like, just, what are you doing? So, yeah, he's been frustrating. Surprises? Like, I'm surprised with how good Jalen Hurts has been.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I thought he would be good.
Yeah,
but he's just been really and this goes with like when I say this, like, you know, you want your good players in real football are good players in fantasy. It's not shocking. And he's been very good and real too. Like, he's been very efficient, hasn't panicked a lot. And so like throwing the ball, maybe not has been like kind of crazy, but again, like he's been efficient enough, like, especially this last week against Minnesota. And it's just like, yeah, he's looked pretty fantasy good. And so I've been pleasantly surprised. Threw for 330 yards last week. Never thought I'd have a 300 yard game, to be honest, this year, but week two, boom, already did it. So, you knew the running was going to be there, but I'm like, the sky's going to be limited with how much passing he's going to do. He's already done quite a bit, so I've been surprised with that guy. What about you?
Curtis Samuel was my week one. Like, I used a waiver wire just based on team needs, and been surprisingly, like, Wentz has looked pretty solid, and Curtis Samuel seems to be his favorite target so far. I mean, 20 of them, 20 targets, 15 catches, has a touchdown in each game. And it's been kind of a pleasant surprise to be able to find that kind of consistency, because I kind of needed some type of better flex option. Ultimately, and then, like, honestly, like, having Pitts, I have Tyler Higbee as backup, and I might be rolling with him into week three, but he has the most targets out of any tight end. He hasn't scored a touchdown, but I mean, he's got 20 targets on the season so far, which is, that's pretty dang positive for a tight end. I'll take that. And if you're in need of a tight end, so definitely go consider picking him up. If you're just kind of if you punt a tight end, and that could be one. Let's see how he's 81% rostered in Yahoo. He might not be too available out there, but if he is, I'd say, I don't think whoever's on your, if you're considering the tight end position as a emphasis of need, I'd say you could probably get an upgrade out of him.
Yeah. Gosh. You already knew I had a headache from just thinking about football, and then you threw tight end at me, and I've just been, I got a new phone, so I got the Yahoo app, and it's been updating whenever someone drops somebody, and I'm trying to adjust that in all my leagues. I'm like, okay, let's try to adjust this. And so every time I saw it today, it was funny. I saw like five people drop tight ends, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's the tight ends everywhere. So like, it's just right. Like, I was just like, people are like, which is the one position it's definitely not early enough to, or not a problem with shuffling now, because again, it's a tight end. Get a guy who's catching touchdowns and let's go for it. And roll with it. Tonyan was great, but it's Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, and Waller is the 1-2-3. Kittle is not there because he didn't play week two, which was we were kind of worried about. But it's the tight ends have quickly adjusted to the big dogs already. So in Yahoo, I drafted, I think we said, top as Taysom Hill, and he had a monster first game. Touchdown, everything, 100-something And then I didn't play him. Played Noah Fant instead. Seahawks didn't target the tight end, so I'm like, okay, it's Taysom Hill. Doesn't do anything all game. And well, Noah Fant didn't do anything either, but I'm like, gosh, guys, like the Saints all over again doing it to me. The Saints, man, they're fickle. But hey, the Saints got Michael Thomas going. So that's good to see. He's healthy and running around out there.
Yeah, that was kind of I still don't know how well to trust it week to week.
Oh, I was like, super nervous. I rolled them because I kind of wanted to week one. I was like, oh my gosh, am I gonna really play this guy who hasn't played for like 2 years? And I did, and yeah, it's been it was a little risky, but he's catching touchdowns. My question for you, JT. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, rest of the year. Basically, same in targets. I mean, technically, your Tyreek Hill is one more. Same number of rushing attempts, everything like that. They're pretty much the same. One has more touchdown to make up for the lack of yards. But Michael Waddle, I'm going to be honest here. Hill has the speed, but I've seen a couple lucky plays, to be honest, that has led Humphreys got burned, but the ball was underthrown. So if Humphreys turns around in the game, he catches it instead of a touchdown for Hill for like 60 yards. If those kind of keeps underthrowing by like 5 or so yards, Waddle's yards are less, you know, turnaround cornerback dependent, things like that. I feel I feel like if those balls don't connect and, you know, gets a little colder, I feel like Waddle's routes, with what I'm seeing from Tua, are more sustainable throughout the year and less luck dependent than Tyreek Hill's. I don't know, what do you feel like? Because right now they're 0.2 points difference right now.
Right now, like I totally understand what you're saying, and I feel like Hill is gonna be more steady in terms of receptions and yardage, and his touchdowns are going to be what really is the deciding factor. Whereas I feel like his touchdowns will be there, but it's just how many receptions or yards will he get, because he seemed more game script dependent, at least in the first 2 weeks, than Hill seems like, obviously he could just break one off for 60 like he did. But I think he'll get more of the target share, you know, in a full played out season. But to both of me, it's really surprising. It's just like, yeah, Hill is 25. You say Waddle's 24. And I go, is that like top five in the league for each guy? And no, it's 2 and 3, tied for 3. You know, the only other name that has more targets is a guy named Cooper Kupp. Ever heard of him?
So yeah, from Washington, that's true. Beatles.
So, I mean, it's like, man, that game script in week two, I mean, 19 targets for Waddle compared to the 5 the week before. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I understand what you're saying. And then I'm like, how can I think almost the opposite, but like they both make sense to me, which really is a good problem to have, honestly. It's kind of and their skill sets complement each other. I don't even know what to compare it to. Are they one of the best 1-2 wide receivers in the league?
Then and the Philly guys, honestly, too.
Yeah, and say they complement each other, like Devontae and AJ. But
it's got it. Well, them and Cincinnati's guys probably too.
Right.
But yeah, other than that, yeah, those got to be the three teams that, because you could have said Minnesota in the past, but I don't think Thielen is what he was in his prime anymore. And so, if they had Diggs and Jefferson.
They wanted to.
You don't ever turn and hand the ball off at that point. But
yeah, at this point, the more popular Thielen is his cousin, who's an ACL cornhole pro. Anyways, I digress.
Wow. but yeah, it's Yeah, the wide receiver is just Jahan Dotson too. I just don't know. Man, Baltimore too. Garrett Wilson. We're still really early, which is funny because the tight ends have already normalized. Mm-hmm. And you could say, I mean, you could say wide receivers too. Diggs, Kupp, St. Brown there, Tyreek Hill. You know, I would be surprised if that was the order at the end of the year for wide receivers. Justin right. Jefferson's sixth.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk, seventh now. Okay. But yeah, it's just Davante Adams, top 10. So it's not like too crazy already. So maybe looking at it now, maybe it's not as like crazy as I thought. I think just maybe the way that we got here has been a little crazy. Now I look at quarterbacks. Yeah, it's a little crazy. Carson Wentz being number four, Tua being number five. Maybe it's a little crazy. But let's see running backs. Because I see like Chubb is the highest because, oh no, I guess that's. Sir Swift, Barkley, Aaron Jones, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I was big on him. That's been paying off pretty nice so far. Christian McCaffrey, Kareem Hunt, Taylor, Robinson. Yeah, I've got to be honest. I was wrong on the Robinson one. I thought ETN would get more play there. Honestly, so far. Robinson is basically just he's taking charge of that, I think. ETN had a drop week one that was pretty bad walk in the end zone. It's just it has not been the ETN show, it's been the James Robinson show.
Right. I was looking at red zone targets because I was still trying to think about the Hill and the Waddle conundrum. Waddle has four red zone targets so far. Hill has none, I'm seeing, which is kind of interesting. But Garrett, you mentioned Garrett Wilson. He's got the most red zone targets on the year and I'm just talking about wide receivers at the moment, only wide receivers, at eight. So, I mean, unfortunately, weren't able to record till today's Thursday. So Garrett Wilson, I think would have been maybe not a waiver wire ad, but like a quick free agent early Wednesday morning ad. And just, I don't think you'll necessarily need to go out of your way to start him. I would think we haven't really had any big injuries, wide receivers. Mike Evans, his suspension's up with, was upheld. So he's out.
It was upheld, yeah.
So, I mean, maybe if you had a thin wide receiver, bench type thing, you got a Garrett Wilson. I could see like a flex play out of it or something. However, I mean, your other big names in terms of like red zone targets for wide receivers are here that we're talking about. And I think that really bodes well in terms of maybe these wide receivers so far. I mean, small sample. We're talking about 2 weeks. I mean, we're talking about, Jamar Chase has six red zone targets. And Cooper Kupp has five. I mean, there's not a whole lot here, but Kirk, Adams, St. Brown, and Waddle all with five or four now. Courtland Sutton kind of stands out. That's kind of nice. Michael Thomas, three. So, I mean, we're starting to get in really small three red zone targets across two games. But those
and big Sutton names... got hurt second half, too, of the first game.
Oh, did he?
The second game. He was out for basically the second half. He's not even practicing right now.
Oh, so. I missed that. Okay.
So, yeah, that's – you probably might have more. Although the Broncos have just been atrocious in the red zone. So, I don't know if it would have changed anything. But still, yeah. Point still stands.
Yeah, and so I mean, like, otherwise, I mean, there's only two tight ends that have four or more, and it's Higbee with four targets in the red zone, and Ertz with five. So I mean, if anything, maybe you could. I'm sure Ertz is rostered in a high percent of leagues. Let me look it up real quick here. I don't think he would be like. Yeah, 94% rostered. So he's taken as he should be. I wouldn't have thought he was readily available much. Yeah. But things are still shaking out. But in terms of the Waddle thing, I would think that his touchdowns could be a more consistent thing where it's like Hill is got a really good floor but is obviously the bigger boom potential with the big deep balls for scores. but just not as, can't count it on week to week, but you're still starting both. So to me, it's kind of it's a fun exercise, but it's almost kind of like they're both wide receiver ones at this point. So
do you got any sleepers going forward? Guys, you like things going forward other than like an ultimate one?
Ultimate sleeper?
Yeah. I really like, to be honest, I really like Tyler Lockett going forward. I think they did some nice things in week two. 15 fantasy points, 11 targets. I think that the NFL teams have told the Seahawks that DK is their issue. And they wanted to push the ball downfield. And I think Tyler's just going to find that super. They're going to play cover two. They have been. Seahawks are going to force that ball deep. And it's not going to go as deep as they're projecting because DK is going to run that deep stuff. Got to be guys all over it. Tyler's just going to take up that middle intermediate zone. And that's what he did this last week. I just think maybe Tyler Lockett's going to get some stuff against Atlanta and Detroit next couple weeks.
Ooh.
I'm saying. Why is he a free agent? It's like,
who?
He's 83% rostered and up 10%. I don't know. He's in this whole league. I'm like, okay. Let's put a claim on him right now.
There you go.
But yeah. Anyways.
Oh, that's a tough for me because I really want to go like below 50% rostered for something like that, but it's so off.
When I said that, I didn't look at his roster percentage. And I'm like,
right.
He just was a free agent. So I'm like, wait a second. That's way too high.
Garrett Wilson already mentioned as kind of like pickup darling for the week.
Did you see the game from Pickens, the catch he had? It's like Odell Beckham.
Esque, yeah.
I saw that in preseason, and I'm like, just throw him the football.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Just him and Claypool should be your starters. It's just what it is at this point. Like, what are we doing?
But and I'm just at the same time, Trubisky, so it doesn't matter.
And that's the issue. Like, he had seven targets and like none were anywhere near him, basically. And one he tried to throw in, Pickens caught it. He's just like, just give him a chance, man. And I'm like, you just got to not. How do you play Trubisky at this point? Just there's so much wasted potential in that man.
My name that I kind of landed on is a Treylon Burks, 44% rostered.
Yeah.
There's almost no one else on that Titans wide receiving corps that, I mean, he's the dude. He's rookie, but I mean, it's not really a great passing attack and just in general, but we know Tannehill can throw it when needed. It's just like, I feel like he could emerge as like a nice, you know, flex option, maybe wide receiver three type vibe. And I just, you know, it could just work out where it's like, you feel like you have a really good, you know, flex option throughout the year, depending on just how deep your league is or whatnot. But that was a name that kind of stood out.
Well, I agree, because I think Tennessee, they run it too much. And you see what a team looks like when they're just like, we're not going to let you run it. And you're going to have to throw it to somebody at some point. You'd have no more A.J. Brown. So there's targets up in the air. Who wants them? And so I am not against stashing a waiver wire guy and being like, look, show me something. Somebody show me something and see if you sneak into like the wide receiver one. And yeah, I agree with what you mentioned. Like it's honestly really anybody like there. They got a couple guys you're like, somebody's going to catch some passes. They're going to have to, because you're going to play like that. You're going to be down. I think they're for the first time they're not favored to win that division because their just talent's not what it used to be. So their O-line's nicked up again. It's getting worse. Henry ain't going to get the room. They're going to be down. They're going to have to throw it.
Right.
Garbage time in fantasy counts the regular as the same as regular time. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
They already got their Buffalo Bill game out of the way, so there you go.
I just thought, I don't know how to come at this angle, but it's just like biggest boost going into week three, San Francisco's wide receiving core having Garoppolo as the quarterback now, I feel gets a little bit of a bump in terms of, I just feel like he's a little more competent. I mean,
I think maybe in the future, but Denver's corners are good. Okay. Like, that's the only thing. Like,
I guess not maybe only not week three, but like week, from now moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because you could see the play difference as soon as the injury happened.
Yeah.
And it was a different team. Like, there was, wide receivers catching balls now. Like, it was just like, oh my gosh.
Because I benched Ayuk for week two.
I did too. Yeah.
And Debo was starting to get that. Like, I mean, he rushes it enough where it was like, okay, yeah, I could see it, but man, like, you know, don't do me dirty. But now I feel like fully confident in Debo, and Ayuk should be at least a flex consideration wide receiver three week in, week out, depending
they have
on the matchup. So,
three injured wide running backs now in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on their fourth and fifth guys already, which is like insane. So I went to the well like a week ago and I was like, you know what? You never know who is Shanahan, who he's going to get. And I didn't even pick up Wilson. I picked up somebody else now who's like now immediately the backup, Jordan Mason. And I'm like, and then now they're like, people got hurt. And I was like, I might have like, like got a guy who's going to get 50% of the workload this week or something like that. You know, like, who knows what it's going to look like in that backfield at this point. So with both guys going down. So I think they're, like you said, they're going to throw it. I mean, honestly, like, the only thing is going to be Debo. Debo has an incentive to get enough rushing yards to get his pay, but he's already over halfway there. If I'm the 49ers, I'm like, look, we're going to get you there, but we can't run you like a running back, man. You're not going to make it till week 11. Like, trust us, we're going to get you your money, but we can't kill you before we get to the playoffs. Like, at this rate, you're going to run it more than like freaking Saquon at this point. Stop. Like, we just got to slow down a second. Like, and honestly, if that's the case, they've done it before. Ayuk's going to get some of those. Cause he was the guy that would do that. And they've done that. And so I'm just like, I'm interested in what's the future holds for both of those guys. So
absolutely.
I think you get some rushing and all that stuff. They like both of their skill sets. So I agree with you on that one. Do I have one that's like big time? While I'm thinking about it, how do you feel about Herbert going forward with a broken rib? That's kind of this podcast like special boy. Like, and I knew it was going to hurt you when I saw that news.
Right. I am still trying to be optimistic about it. I was obviously impressed the way he played even through it and after it and stuff, but at a certain point we're like, okay, it's week two, you know, like I understand it was against the Chiefs with a chance to, you know, win. So that bye week is week eight, so that's not really an option. I feel okay about it because I think I saw he's still throwing this week. It's not like he's just like, you know, only doing even just like walkthroughs. I mean, he's still doing individual drills and stuff. I feel like he's not that top tier, like top three QB in terms of fantasy. If he's probably going to be quicker to pass, and like we saw it, he could have ran for the first down near the end of that game. He just kind of, oh man.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, it's rib. Like, there's no way it's not.
Oh, yeah.
As anyone who's hurt their ribs, it's not. The throwing motion will hurt for like a second. The running is what just hurts the entire time. Like,
yeah.
That just hurts the entire time you're in motion. You're like, oh, can't do this.
So he'll have to rely on his arm more. Darn it. You know, still. But I think it should be okay. I mean, like, he'll still be a QB1. It's just like, I don't think he'll be top three. I think maybe it'll take, you know, next week or two, he'll be a low QB1, but I think he's still a QB1.
Yeah. No, I mean, Yeah, that's this podcast special boy, Justin Herbert there.
Yeah.
I would say sleeper for MVP, but like, I think the hype got out of control all offseason, so no one's gonna think he's gonna be surprised if he wins MVP because
right.
Honestly, they outplayed Kansas City, but bounces and things like that. They didn't get the win, but he played well enough to win. I don't know if I still even have. People are picking up Nelson Aguilar again. One catch kind of like drove that whole situation. So I'm not really digging into that. I was disappointed in Sky Moore's usage. I think he's been on two routes in general, and they threw it to him one time. Mm-hmm. Had to drop him in all the leagues. That was a bummer. I'm not on the Cole Beasley thing. I don't think that's gonna. That does worry me about Julio Jones though, picking up Cole Beasley, and his like issues mm-hmm. being healthy.
Definitely.
I'm not on that wagon. I'm trying to think of wide receivers or running backs or anybody. Tight ends again. That's easy. It's just whatever. Christian McCaffrey's nicked up, so maybe Chuba Hubbard, a little bit of run there already. So, we talked about this last year. Marlon Mack, same thing, like picked up last minute or traded. He's now in San Francisco. They need a running back, a body.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's Jeff Wilson and then either Jordan Mason, the guy I got picked up, or Mack. So I just don't see that Mac's going to leapfrog anybody. But it is, of any team that's going to do it, it could be the 49ers. But I'm not rushing to pick him up.
We only got like a couple minutes left here. Trying to cruise some week three, like spicy matchups. I don't see anything. Really, if anything, we always, you know, each week, especially last year, we're just talking about, you know, If you're not married to your defense, I mean, obviously you can stream them. Chicago's got a juicy matchup against Houston.
Kansas City versus Indy this week, too. Indy is just not on offense, just does not look good. It's even Jonathan Taylor. If you could stop that, that's it.
Yeah, I feel like I like Dallas against the Giants, who Giants are 2-0, kind of odd.
It's all fluky. Like, there's no way that's real. Yeah, I think Kansas City. You can convince me of Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. I'm going to wrap it up here. We got our closing dad bod player of the last couple weeks. It's Aaron Judge. Was there any doubt? I mean, he's a manimal.
And I wish I looked like that when I was 30. Is his exact age 29? I think he's 30.
Yeah, or just ever.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you listening. Take care, be well, and until next time, see ya.
See ya.